Good morning. Didn't this time of year just put a smile on your face? It does me, that's for certain. Just a reminder, I believe Jimmy mentioned it a little bit earlier here, but just on Tuesday, candlelight service, 6 p.m., not 7 p.m., 6 p.m. So come and join us if you weren't here last year. Oh man, it's just beautiful. You know, we just go through the Word of God, walk through Scripture, and just point out Jesus throughout it, and the worship and the kiddos, and just praising Jesus because it's all about Him, right? Amen? You agree? All right. Open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're continuing our study through this incredible epistle. What is the theme of Hebrews? The supremacy of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is better. He is greater. Amen. Jesus is better, guys. He is greater. He is greater than anything you can have in the world, anything you can imagine. Greater just than our sins. You know, He paid for our sins in every aspect. And so the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers, the Hebrew people, written and sent to Jerusalem, to a people that wanted to go back to traditions. They missed the sacrifices that were done at the temple. They miss all the rituals and, you know, and whatever the reason may be, it might have been also persecution. They were persecuted. They wanted to go back. Nevertheless, the author writes to remind them that Jesus is better. Everything else was just a shadow. Everything else just pointed to Him. The holidays, the seasons, the Word of God, all those pictures, Melchizedek. I mean, you go on and on and on. Jesus said in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And so everywhere we look in the Old Testament, we see Jesus. And so the theme is that He is better. I'm going to read the first four verses, if you would follow along with me, and then we'll pray and get into our studies. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard." Here's the warning, "lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the very first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." Lord, we just come before You, and Lord, we ask that Your word, Lord, we just leap out of the pages into our hearts, Lord, that Your word would search us. That, Lord, it would speak to us so incredibly. Through Your Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us. That You would pour out Your Spirit today in this place. And, Lord, that everyone here would know that they have met with You. That they have heard from You. Lord, Your word is truth. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just magnify it in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirit. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. In the previous chapter, the author makes the argument from the Old Testament that Jesus is greater. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than the angels. He is the one that the prophets wrote of. He is the prophet. He is greater than the angels as the Son of God, as the one who created the angels. Just by way of reminder, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, they revered angels. In fact, Paul in Colossians tells them, hey, listen, don't be cheated with this empty philosophies and so forth and worship of angels. And so He says, man, they're angels. As great as angels are, as powerful as they are, these beings that can do such good and also destroy the enemy, as we see throughout the Old Testament, he says, they are created beings and Jesus created them. And he references Psalms and 1 Samuel. And it's interesting because as we go through there, we're going to see so many times that the author goes back to the book of Psalms. And we see that the book of Psalms is full of just messianic prophetic word, just pointing to Jesus. And as you read, I think as you read the Psalms, as we go through this here, through the book of Hebrews, that you're going to look at the Psalms in a different way. You're going to see Jesus throughout because he is the strength throughout. And so he says in the Psalms and Samuel, he says, it is written of him. This is not new information. This is scripture. And he concludes the chapter by pointing out that Jesus is the one sitting and ruling at the right hand of God the Father, not angels. He then makes the point, the final point in that chapter, in the form of a question. And this is what he asks. Verse 14 of chapter 1, this is what he asks. He says, are they not all ministering spirits, speaking of angels, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Who is that, people? Those who will inherit salvation. That's us. Yes. The Bible speaks of us that we have been saved, that we're saved, that we're being saved. And so the angels, the word angel means messenger. And God created them. And they actually are assigned to you and to me. Isn't that, don't you feel important? I mean, it's like the grace of God, the love of God, that he would send angels to protect you, to guide you. I was thinking of a time in my life, which I've shared before. And just there's, you know, when you remember, there's so many aspects of it, of how God worked in so many different ways. And it's like, you know, you can't maybe in one sitting tell all the different aspects of it. So, you know, but many years ago, about 20 years ago, my family and I, we backslid and we came back to the Lord, or we were making our way back to the Lord, if you would. And we had moved to Texas, and I was really struggling at the time. You know, I was hurting and just physically, just broken, my back physically broken, surgery, painkillers and all these different things. And, you know, so it was not a good time in my life and in our lives. And we're like, Lord, we need you. I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we drifted this far, which is what we're going to speak about. How did I get here? And so the Lord in his grace was working behind the scenes, even though I could not see it. And he moved the family to Texas. He moved us to Texas. But the struggle was still there. And I'm struggling, you know, just leaving these things, these sins, and coming back to God. And it had been about 3 years or so, something of that nature, give or take. But I remember walking into this place. I think it's Kroger's, the stores out there. They're same as here, Freddy's, in other words, same companies. But I walked in, and there's this book shelf thing, this kiosk. It was there, and there was this security guard standing next to it. And listen, I had no interest in books, none whatsoever. Yeah, you know, I was just like walking by, and the guy says, the security says, "Hey, you should read that book." And for whatever reason, well, I know the reason afterwards, whatever reason, I said, really? I said, okay, grab the book, right? And I shared this before, what the main focus of that book, how it spoke to me, so I won't share that now. But here's the point, that book had a message for me that so spoke to my heart so deeply that God uses an instrument to get us back to church, to get us back in fellowship with the Lord, to repent and return to him. And, you know, I went back to that store and, you know, there was no security guard there. And I don't remember if there was still that kiosk, that book kiosk there. But I asked either one of the workers or one of the supervisors there. I said, hey, listen, what happened to the security? Because I wanted to thank the security guard. You know, I was like, wow. And he goes, we don't have security guards here. We've never had security guards here. And I was like, okay. All right. You know? And those are those things that you remember back. It's like, maybe, you know? I believe that that's one of those cases because God used him as a messenger because, once again, that's what the word angel means, messenger. To get that message back to me, to make me turn and come back to the Lord. And so, the author says, as great as these angels are, they're created beings. And he says on that verse 14 that the question is, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Is that to you and me? The question basically lays out what the angels' roles are in our lives. And so in chapter 1, we learned last week that in the last days, which from the time that Jesus came upon the earth, from the last days, that's when the last days started biblically, prophetically. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through his Son. Because he said, prior to that, he used prophets to speak to us. And he says, oh, how much greater is Jesus. He himself has spoken to us. He is the message. He is the word of God. He is the gospel. And so, since God spoke to us through his Son, and his Son is, he pointed out, the creator of all things. He said he is the brightness of his glory, meaning of the Father's glory. He is the express image of his person. He upholds all things by the word of his power. All things, the earth, everything, your body, everything is being upheld. The word there is keeps all things together by Jesus Christ. Everything, the stars, all things. And also, he says, he by himself purged our sins, and after completing the work at the cross, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why did he sit down? Because it was done. At the cross, he said, it is finished, it is completed, it is done, sins are paid for. And at the resurrection, that was a receipt, proof. First fruits of the resurrection. And so, the work, the redemptive work is completed. Amen? Amen. And so, Jesus is greater than the prophets and greater than the angels. Jesus is better. And this morning, as we pick up in chapter 2, we come to the first of five major warnings found in Hebrews. So take a look at the chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 with me once again. We're going to look at verse 1 first. Look at what it says. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Please notice the word therefore. The word links, this word links all the previous statements, all that the author just said in chapter 1, and brings it to a conclusion, to an application. He says, in light of all these things, because of all these things, he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And here's the warning, lest we drift away. The author started the letter by saying that God in times past spoke to us through prophets, but now in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. Therefore, if he has spoken to us, or not if, since he has spoken to us through his Son, we must give the more earnest heed. And that word earnest, the more earnest, is the word superabundant, caution. And it's like, it is. He wants us to know, listen, this is huge, huge, superabundant caution. An exceedingly great degree of attention to the things that we have heard from Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that how you approach the Word of God? Is that how you approach the gospel? Do you give this incredible degree of caution and reverence to the Word of God? Because that's what the Word of God deserves. That's what Jesus deserves. Since God sent his Son, we better listen. And I'll throw in there, and since God wrote a book, we better read it. Can you just contemplate that? Can you just let that simmer in your mind? As the psalmist would say, Selah, that God has spoken through his son, the word became flesh, and that he wrote a book. This book is supernatural, guys. Why do you think that anytime you want to open it up, all of a sudden, man, the dog starts barking, this starts happening, horns are out in the street, and all kinds of things stop? When you're watching the TV, nothing happens. Yeah, you turn on fishing, hunting, whatever it is. Oh, it's great. Let me reach for my Bible. Something happens. The kids start yelling, crying, because it's supernatural. There is a supernatural element of the Word of God. And anytime we want to enter it, we want to get into it, the enemy doesn't want us to do that. Why? Because it has transformative power. The psalmist writes, he says, that God sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from destruction. His word has healing powers. Listen, you come in here, you're down and depressed, things are going on in your life, sickness, ailment. The word of God heals, it restores, and it saves. And so, the author says, we need to give careful attention to the things we have heard from Jesus. But notice that the author also includes himself. He includes himself. He says, lest we drift away. Because sometimes we're saying, we're good here. Nothing's going to happen to us. I'm solid, man. I can take church whenever. I don't really need. I know the word of God. I've heard all the stories. I grew up in church. Yeah, I know what he's going to say. We can take that attitude. But the author of Hebrews says, lest we drift away. That is a severe warning. Listen, pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying here today. He is saying that anyone can drift away. Anyone. And if we look back in our walk, we know that there's been times that we have. Some have been a lot more evident and some minor. That is the warning. And it happens by not taking heed to what we hear, by not taking heed to the word of God, by not obeying the word of God. And that's what the Jewish believers here are doing. They are dismissing the word of God. They're dismissing it. They're not giving it that careful attention it requires, believing and applying it. And the author of Hebrews says, don't do that. You are in real danger of drifting away. Listen, don't go. All a person has to do to drift away is stop listening. Stop paying attention. That's all a person has to do. Because you can be in here and the word's coming in one ear and out the other. You can be in here and you could care less about the Bible. You're like, I'm just here because this is just what I do. It's just part of my routine. And your ears may be growing dull. And your heart may be hardening. And the word of God no longer has an excitement to you. And the word of God lost its power in your life. The word of God no longer has authority over your life. And everything has changed. In one ear and out the other. And we can begin doing what James warns us about not to do, being hearers of the word only and not doers. All a person has to do to drift away is do nothing. And you guys have heard the analogies, the examples, and so forth of drifting away. You may have experienced it. Listen, we know, drifting away, you're out floating in the ocean. By the way, I do not like the ocean. There's big fish in there. I'm a little guy. Wouldn't take much. Don't like it. Nevertheless, by way of illustration, maybe you've been out there. And you know, if you're just floating, you're just swimming, all of a sudden, you end up way down here. Nothing. Why? Because you got your eyes off of whatever reference point you had. And you just float and you're floating away. All you have to do is do nothing. And you can start drifting away. And there may be some here today that tuned out a long time ago. There may be some here that it's been a while. And it's just a routine. And you have been slowly drifting away. And today, the Holy Spirit is giving you a wake-up call. Today, the Spirit of God is saying, wake up. This is the direction that you're going. And there is a big old neon sign saying, warning. This is the direction that you're going. Don't drift away. Listen, don't hit the snooze button on this wake-up call. God wants to speak to you. The Word of God has not lost its power. The Word of God is powerful. What happens is that we can leave the Word of God. Our hearts change. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is still as powerful as it was 2,000, 4,000 years ago. It is still as powerful as it ever been. And the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. So the natural question is, how do we avoid this drifting, this slipping away that the Bible speaks of? Well, the author tells us right there, right in the first verse, there's so much in there. He says, give super abundant attention to what you have heard, what you're doing with what you have heard. In other words, listen, are you listening? Are you paying attention to the Word of God? And are you applying it in your life? Sometimes we can just grow in information and our heads get big and it is just one big old bobber out in the middle of the ocean with this head just drifting off into nowhere. But one thing that you apply in your life and everything changes. The author is going to write in chapter 6, we're going to read that he says that the promises of God, the Word of God, you can wrap that in there, Jesus is the anchor to our souls. You want to be anchored or you want to be just drifting away into nothing. And one day, I know, I've experienced it, I've shared it, we all done it to certain degrees. If it hasn't happened to you, one day, it could. And if it does, you will find out, this is, how did I get here? How did I find myself in this place, out in the middle of nowhere, with no one, by myself? I missed all the signals. I missed the warnings that God gave me. And it started by me not reading my word, the Word of God. It started with me not praying. It started with me not fellowshipping any Lord. It started with me putting the Word of God in the priority of God and no longer His kingdom first place as first place in my life. The Word of God says, Matthew says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Are we seeking His kingdom first in our lives? Because to the Christian, to the believer, that's all that matters. God will set everything in order. The Bible also says, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will, what? Direct your path, our path. Meaning when I have a decision, when I think, okay, I got this whole thing covered. It doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, on your own wisdom. But what? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this is where I'm at. It looks good. It looks right. Is it right? Lord, I need your wisdom in this. Lead me and guide me. And the promise is that He will direct our steps, and He does. And sometimes we don't know it until later on. The first thing that the author brings to our attention is that if the Word, and he is referring here to the law that was spoken through angels, proved reliable or resolute. What about the word spoken through Jesus? But I want to draw your attention to what the author says here, the point that he makes here, that the word came through angels. Now, we're like, wait, hold on a second. I remember that God spoke to Moses, gave him the commandments and so forth. Listen, Deuteronomy alludes to this. I don't know what it was spoken through angels. I don't know if God gave him the instructions. He did it. What we know is that angels were involved. Stephen makes mention of this in Acts 7:53. You may remember Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Man, he just rebuked these Pharisees and gave him the word of God. And so they arrested him and they put him before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. And as he's on trial, what does he do? He gives him a summary of the Old Testament, a survey. He gives them a history lesson. Think of how that annoyed them. These guys were like the experts of the experts of the Bible. But he gave them the true meaning of it. And he gets to the conclusion of it in chapter 7, verse 53. And he says, you are betrayers, he tells them, and murderers. And then he says, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So there's a lot there, but the point is here that Stephen says that angels delivered the word to them and they did not keep it. Paul says the same thing in Galatians 3:19. However, the point that the author is making here is that if the law delivered by angels to Moses proved resolute, meaning they could not get around it or away from it, and there were consequences to breaking the law, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer is we can't. We can't escape. Outside of Jesus, there is no salvation. The Bible says in Philippians 2:9, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, that deserves an amen. If the law had consequences to its disobedience, how much greater are the consequences of a person neglecting such greater salvation? Neglecting the word of God and taking salvation for granted, but also, even more so, what about those rejecting such a great salvation? Dire consequences. Listen, it's such a great salvation because by grace we are saved. There is nothing that we can do to be saved. Absolutely nothing. You can be the best person. I have met so many people that are so wonderful. Great people. Good moral characters. Good moral compass. Good family man and women and, you know, people. But they don't know Jesus. And it doesn't matter all the good works that they do. Heaven is not open to them because there's only one way. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Such a great salvation because by grace we are saved. It's a great salvation because the price was the cross. The Son of God laid down his life for you and for me that we may be saved. It had a great price and is such a great salvation. Listen, this is what David said. And I believe as he was maybe neglecting this salvation that was to come, maybe he was in that place of backslidden. And he writes in Psalms 51:12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Are you joyful this morning? Do you have the joy of the Lord? The joy that you're saved? Man, when I came to know the Lord, man, everything changed. And listen, that's my personality. You guys spend with me 5 minutes, you know that I'm just passionate and just really. Anyway, God uses the personalities of people. Some people just turn right there, and then it's just this immediate turn that as badly as you were going that direction, you're now that powerfully going the other direction. And others, it's a slow, gradual change. But man, I was so excited. And I believed God, and I believed his word, and I believed God, and I believe his word to this day even more so. But here's the thing. I remember after a few years of walking with the Lord, a couple years, In fact, it was after backsliding, coming back to the Lord. And I'm just sure, if the church was open, I was there. Listen, I was there. It's like that commercial, open, open, open. I just wanted to be there. I wanted to serve the Lord. And I remember this guy came to church and he says, he was talking to me. And he says, how long have you been saved? I said, oh man, I don't know. I came to know the Lord, was going to church for a couple of years and stopped and just coming back now. And it's been, because you're in the honeymoon stage. It wore out. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew he was wrong. And I said to myself, that is a choice. This man has neglected such a great salvation, but your relationship can get better and better with the Lord. Grow closer and closer and more intimate, and God will use you more and more and more. We are tools in his hands if we desire to be tools in God's hand. And your fulfillment, your joy, your purpose comes with being part of that body of Christ. In the body, the church, you're the body. We're the body. Hands, feet. Every person has a role to play in the body. And when you step out, when you are more of a spectator and not a participant, start drifting away. Start slipping away. Well, the author continues by saying that this great salvation was first began to be spoken of by Jesus and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Furthermore, the author says, God bore witness of the apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought this message. He is the gospel message. Comes in, he spoke of the kingdom of God, of salvation. He went to the cross, died, rose again, ascended, and he gave the Great Commission, right? We see it in Mark 16. We see it in Matthew 26. As he sends out the disciples, and he gives them instructions. And so the word of God kept spreading. The gospel kept spreading. And how did God bear witness? Look at the text. It tells us. As they preached the word, as they went out and lived the word, it says that God confirmed it or bore witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Grab that verse and just meditate on it. Just meditate on that. In Mark 16, 17, Jesus said to his apostles, and these signs will follow, listen, will follow, because many people will follow signs. The Bible says, no, signs will follow the believer, the preaching of the word. Oh, something's going on. No, let the Spirit of God is here right now in this place, just as it may be at the church down the street or across the country, wherever it may be, he's doing a work there. So many people want to follow miracles. God wants to use your life, and miracles will follow the preaching of the word of God. And so he says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, gift of tongues. They will take up serpents. By the way, this doesn't mean like those that practice and just grab serpents and so forth. That's testing God, and you don't do that. He's speaking of Acts 28, when Paul got bitten by this viper, and he shook it off, and nothing happened to him. And so he says, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Maybe you've experienced that. I've experienced that. I haven't been bitten by a snake. And nor do I want to. However, God's word holds true. His promises hold true. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. And then he's speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, okay? The spiritual gifts. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This is basically what the author of Hebrews just said, that the Spirit of God is the one that gives these spiritual gifts to the individual as He wills, not as I will. And so God confirmed and bore witness to the apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ by the signs and wonders and by the impartation of spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. You guys probably figured it out, but we're not finishing the chapter. However, the point that the author is driving here is that if the word delivered by angels was steadfast and had repercussions for breaking it, how much greater responsibility do we have who have received the word from the Son of God? Much greater. To whom much is given, much is required, guys. And so the author issued a two-part warning to the Jewish believer and to us. If they neglect it, the word of God, the things which they have heard, it will lead to drifting away. And if they neglected such a great salvation, the consequences would be more severe than the breaking of the law. And so after issuing the first of five major warnings, the author continues establishing the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all things, reminding them that Jesus is better. We're not going to go into the next section because that's going to take us an additional 20 minutes or so. So we'll leave it here. But I just want to remind you, Jesus is better. There's nothing in the world that compares. And as we give our life to the Lord, He changes us from the inside out. Anything else, any other programs, they're a Band-Aid. They're just a Band-Aid. Because what happens is, you, whatever it is that you do, God has given us such... He has created us in such a way where we can be disciplined, where we can push our bodies in such an incredible way and endurance. And the way that we're created is incredible, even in our fallen state. And listen, through discipline, you can change outside behavior. Outside behavior. Outside. But Jesus Christ changes the heart. He changes us from the inside out. We are a new creation. Brand spanking new. You know when you grab that baby just from the hospital? New baby smell, like new car smell. New creation. Don't neglect the word of God. Hear the word of God. Obey the word of God. This is a warning not only for the Hebrews, but for us. If you've been thinking, don't think. I'm just kidding. You've been thinking, listen, this is so much better. I can do this much more. I've been there. There's no profit. Jesus is better. Seek Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. Live for Him. Your life, our lives, changes drastically. Drastically. The major questions are answered. The most important question is answered. Where will I spend eternity before the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Before coming to know the Lord, I thought, well, that's sort of boring. What are you going to do in heaven? And now it's just like, just in worship, how He encompasses the praises of His saints as we sing in the presence of God. And we're like, wow. The Bible says that one day we'll all be bowing the same direction. Kathy, come on up. We'd be bowing the same direction, praising Jesus for eternity. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. How amazing. And not only that, it's going to go in further. I'm going to spoil it. Don't read ahead. No, read ahead. That the coming kingdom, the millennial kingdom, that He has put under us, under our rule, because we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. What is man that you're mindful of him? David writes. And so often maybe you have asked that question. I've asked that question. Who am I that you would care for me in such a manner, that you would bless me, my family, that you've saved me, that you've given me a direction and a promise, a reservation in heaven that will not fade away? That's just the love of God. That is the grace of God. And so if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, don't leave that way. Just don't leave that way. God wants to bless you. He wants to save you. So many stories in our lives where we've shared the Word of God and God has impressed in my heart to share. And I've shared a couple of these stories. I'm going to share just one right now that just came to mind. I believe it's of the Lord. When I lived in Texas, I remember I was downtown. And by the way, I do not like cities. City's a city's a city. But I do love doing outreach in the cities. Nevertheless, I was downtown. And, you know, you have one ways and all these different things, right? And I remember I'm making a left-hand turn and I just didn't see that you couldn't make a left-hand turn. So I said, okay. You know, made it. And then next thing I'm like, you know, here's a cop behind me. And I'm like, okay. So go in and pull on over. And listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Right? It's like, okay, it's okay. And so this guy comes. And the guy is like Kelsey. He's yoked, you know? He's like in good shape. And that's not always the case with cops. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. My son is a cop. But this guy's yoked. He looks like, man, he's in shape. He's healthy. And he comes up to me and he's like, oh, did you know so-and-so? He wasn't happy, though. And, you know, I was like, okay. And I share. I said, okay, thank you, officer. And, you know, we had a very brief conversation. And as he's going, I said, hey, stay safe and God bless you. And he turned around. He says, what? I said, just be safe. I said, may the Lord bless you. And he just looked at me and says, and he turned around and left. Well, my letter came from the courts, and every state and cities are different the way they do things, with my citation. And the citation that was there noted was a different violation. So I was waiting for that notice so I can just send in the check, right? I erred. I was wrong. Receive it. We do it. We obey all ordinances and so forth. But it was a different violation. I'm like, well, then you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just take it to the court and say, hey, this is wrong. You know, and therefore it's going to be dismissed because he wrote the wrong one, but it was the wrong one. Anyway, I'm giving my argument here. I'm missing the point. I'm getting away from the point. So I go to court eventually. And I'm waiting there, and, you know, they're bringing the dockets, and people are coming. And then this lady says, hey, anybody that is here because of Officer so-and-so, come on over here. So I'm like, we go over with a group of other people, and he says, all your tickets are dismissed. And I'm like, okay. I said, I know Jesus loves me, you know, this I know, because my Bible tells me so. But I'm like, okay. And I started walking away, and I came back, and I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, why are the tickets dismissed, and the officer, is something going on, or something wrong? And he says, the officer passed away from a heart attack a few weeks ago. Now, I say that because when he stopped me, the Lord impressed in my heart to share the gospel with him. And to my shame, the best I could do was, God bless you. It was the best I could do. This man died without Christ, as best I know. Maybe somebody else shared the gospel with him. You have the words of eternal life. God has entrusted to us something so special. It changes the trajectory of mankind. There's only two places, hell and heaven. And God says, if you want to go to hell, it's going to be through my dead body. You're going to have to step over my body, over my grave. You're going to have to reject such a great salvation. So if you're here, you don't know Jesus, hey, listen, there are many people that will be happy to pray with you. I'll be back there with my wife. There'll be Anthony and others here. Don't leave. Don't leave without knowing Jesus. You just never know. Lord, thank you Your promise is to give us abundant life here and for eternity. And we just praise you. You're so good. You're so wonderful. The name above every name. I pray if that is the case, Lord, that maybe we've started or have drifted away. That we would repent and turn to you. That's all it takes. You've made it so easy. Confess our sins to you and turn to you. Strong warning. But just marvelous promises. And so we thank you and we praise you. And it is in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.